listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to Spirit of Life for Wednesday, March 16th, 2016. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly, here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here. Another show. I love this, and there's lots of people in the chat to join us. It's awesome.
Yeah, we welcome all those listening to the live program, as well as those listening to the archive version of it. Glad you could join us. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH Church also has several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an Association of Anomalous Researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, our flagship school that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics, and Thomas Francis University at TFUniversity.org, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees. As we begin, I'd like to read over our abbreviated principles of belief. These are for the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. The full principles of belief can be read and expanded on at our website, metaphysicalhumanism.org. We have 9 principles of belief. These are, number 1, do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Number 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. Number 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And number 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And again, for a complete discussion of these 9 principles of belief, as well as frequently asked questions on our beliefs, please visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. Now tonight we've got quite a few here in the chat room. Glad to have you. We also have some questions that we're going to answer, well, attempt to, that were posted in our One Planet Community forum or network. This oneplanetcommunity.com is a private Facebook-like network that we have for our church members, for our students, and those affiliated with one of our educational programs. Now, first of all, we want to pull a card, and then, so Dr. Hunter, you pull the card, and frankly, she already pulled it, and it was pulled at random, yes. But it kind of fits in with this. So pull it and read the comment, and then I'll pick up and we'll say what these questions are.
Well, I always find it interesting that, you know, what we're pulling kind of resonates with the discussion we're having, or, you know, it's like we were reading out the questions that were on One Planet Community. I pulled a card, and lo and behold, it's number 35, service to self and others. The card actually is one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny, which is right in keeping with the little brief discussion we're going to have here in a minute. The card reads, and by the way, for those new to us, Inner Oracle Self-Discovery Cards, our little guidebook here. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It's an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality toward others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy. And the reason I was smiling when reading it, because our audience is going to understand right away why this is so relevant to the questions that were posed in the One Planet community chat and on the wall there. So go ahead, Dr. Kelly, if you want to read that.
Okay, so Zach posed several questions here on the 1PC board, the wall, main wall here. And I'll read them. We'll start with the first one. And I might add that, gee, Zach, why don't you just ask me what the meaning of life is? That would have been easier to answer. So here's the first question. What happens to a society when entertainment becomes the fuel for motivation? I think that's a good question, but I think it's the answer is rather self-evident. Entertainment has always been a fuel for motivation in one way or another in our society. All you have to do is look at, you know, the people who put themselves down because they don't fit the social, what they can perceive the social expectation to be in terms of body weight, body shape, etc., beauty, things like that. TV has been a part of, you know, of our social conditioning for decades. And so, you know, it is a fuel for motivation for numerous things across the board in all aspects of life. Dr. Hunter?
Well, I might just say fashion goes back hundreds and thousands of years in various societies. And although some may not call it entertainment, but when, you know, certain feats have been performed or rites of passage, the body is marked, you know, you wear a headdress or you put on a new skirt. And, you know, these are all different forms of entertaining ourselves. I think the question that Zach is asking, though, is that we are dictated by entertainment. And I might say that because we live in this kind of evolving society, that entertainment is usually the first thing that hits us as opposed to things that are relevant and spiritually enlightening. We don't, you know, I mean, that's, turn on the news, turn on the radio, turn on anything, and it is, like, news is delivered in a way that's entertaining. Because, of course, they want more people to watch, so it's entertainment. Everything is entertainment, a form of. Always has been.
So, those are some of our thoughts on that first question. The second question is, if a lack of communication will kill any relationship, which is what we teach in our schools, then what does apathy do to a culture or society? Well, apathy kills it. Period.
Well, you know, there's, I think this is one of those arguable kinds of discussions where would have a point of view.
If I say it, you have to agree with me.
Doggone it. Whether or not you vote, whether or not you participate, whether or not you do anything. Because the list is long about what we can all could be, should be, might be, ought to be involved in. You know, I mean, the list is huge. When it comes to actual voting, which is particularly what Zach was talking about, it's if you don't pledge allegiance to any government, then you must pledge allegiance to somebody or something in order for that something to function. And I think that that's ultimately, you know, the argument. And that conversation is, it's just endless, and it's just an argument. So I don't think there is a right answer. I think that people do what they feel they need to do.
Apathy is going to kill about anything. If you don't care, then other people are not going to stay around you. They're not going to continue a relationship with you. If you are an apathetic employee, you're going to lose customers.
True.
It kills relationships.
Yes.
I don't know what else to say about it, you know.
I'm with Russell Brand. He says whoever has the most money always wins, so they should all just hold up their checkbooks and say, I have the most money, and we should just let them win.
And that has to do with apathy. How?
You see, this is what I mean. It's a The discussion goes on and on. I don't know.
Okay, onward and upward. Let's go to question number three. What needs to happen to liberate people from hate, whether it's their own self-loathing or fear of the unknown? How can we dissipate hate? Mm. I mean, that's great questions. And the answer is rather simple, and I can answer it in two words. Ready? Okay, here they are. Don't hate.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, don't hate. It's like, you know, if you got a problem, stop it. You know, it's how do we liberate people from hate? Well, gee, that's that question that it'd be easier to answer what's the meaning of life than to do that. I mean, there's all kinds of answers, but it boils down to stop hating. If you're part of a religion that hates, stop it. Get rid of it. Outgrow it. Lose it. In fact, in my opinion, I was going to say humble, but it probably doesn't apply. But in my opinion, religion needs to go anyway, because religion has done more to damage humanity than any other single source ever, period. End of subject.
Here.
You know, and religion needs to go, because all religion teaches hate in one form or another. If you're Muslim, well, you know, the Quran, I mean, it teaches to hate. If you're Christian, the Bible teaches to hate. Well, wait a minute, Jesus taught love. Okay, well, which part of the Bible do you want to focus on then? You know, if we focus only on the New Testament, then let's get rid of the Old Testament, because that is nothing but some dysfunctional alien being, you know, completely taken with himself and needs to be worshipped. You know, I mean, let's not even go there. And all they did was kill each other. I mean, they were barbaric. I mean, come on. I mean, and this is not anything. This is not an opinion. This is what the Old Testament talks about. I mean, it's right there for anybody to read. So, you know, if we don't hate, if we're part of something that hates, if you're a neo-Nazi, if you're KKK, if you're anybody that hates, stop it. Don't hate, because for every person that fervently believes in that their way is the only way and the right way, there is another equal and opposite person who believes their way is the only way, the right way. So what we need to do is we need to have tolerance. You want to believe something? Look, I don't care. You want to be a Christian? I don't care. You want to be a Muslim? I don't care. Just don't hate. Do no harm. Do right. You can believe what you want, but just don't hurt people. Don't harm people. And we think, well, I'm Christian. No, we don't harm people. Well, 500 years ago, you were killing them. You were burning them in the stake. Well, you weren't, but, you know, they were. And so if you even look at today in this age, well, how does Christianity harm? Well, it harms in a lot of subtle ways. For example, I can't talk to my family and friends again because they've disowned me. Why? Because I no longer believe like they do. I have room in them for my, in my life. I have room in my life for them. They don't have room for me because I don't believe like they believe. They think I'm the scum of the earth because I'm an apostate. I went against it. But I haven't harmed anybody. In fact, I'm trying to help people, and I've done that a lot more than I did before. So, you know, it harms relationships. It's harmful. So that's why I say, you want to get rid of hate? Well, don't hate. Accept, you know, people for who they are, not what, for what they believe. Go ahead.
Rebecca's just made a comment in the chat. She says it's about the ego, and however ego may be a part of it, I would suggest it's about power.
Yeah.
And people just like to flex and feel powerful. And the thing is, when you feel like you have no control in life, you want to control what's outside you. And so when you control what's outside you, then you don't have to think about yourself. You just want power. And then you know, it's just this ever, never-ending kind of cycle. I think it's fair to say that everyone has dark thoughts. And the thing is to check in with yourself, you know, and live in good conscience, to have integrity, to remind yourself, look, I think it's unfair for all of us to say, oh, I don't have any dark thoughts. I'm always good. That's a positive negative, you know, a negative positive. It's not true. We do have dark thoughts. I mean, there's some folks I've met that I say, whoa, you know, and gee, if there's karma, I would sure like that to happen quick. But it doesn't mean that we act on it. You know, you check in with your spirit self. You check in with your life's journey. You check in with, that's not the kind of human being I want to be, to participate in that dark side. So you acknowledge the dark thought, you acknowledge your own feelings and emotions and anger and frustration and all that, and then channel it into a good way. Because here is the deal. The minute that you get suckered into that energy and you retaliate against that energy, you act out and you, you know, violence with the violence, you become that.
Mm-hmm.
They got you.
Well, the oppressed become the oppressors.
Yes. And it's, and I'm not a pacifist by any stretch. I actually am a warrior by nature. But it depends what kind of warrior we want to be. And the thing is to always stand in that good example of how you want humanity to be. That doesn't mean we're pushovers. That doesn't mean we let people push us around. It doesn't mean that we don't stand up for ourselves to do the right thing. And it doesn't mean that there won't be some degree of assertive force that sometimes can seem like violence. However, to speak in a violent way, to outright wish violence upon people, you know, we got to really check in with ourselves. And that's a maturity, I think, that we're trying to mature. So I might just say that the state of affairs that happens to be in some world politics right now is just a lack of maturity. And I think what's more astounding is we're surprised at how many people are attaching to that. Well, there's a lot of psychology tests and sociology tests have been done for many, many decades to show how, you know, some energy attaches to energy, fear begets fear, and again, that cycle. Those are individual choices. Those individuals are making a choice to stand in that. And what we do is we observe. That's all. Stand back and just go do the right thing that you know is to do and never mind about those people. Just observe.
Good points. All right. So let's move on. Let's pull another card. And by the way, if any of our listeners would like a card pull, just say so in the chat room and we'll do that for you.
I got onto a little bit of a soapbox there, didn't I? I just kind of got right up on it.
I'm glad I never do that.
Well, the next card I picked of all things is gratitude.
And that's a good one.
It is a good one. I'll just read this. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for a return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended. Now, I think that the term good manners in there is really important, and it ties back to what we were talking about before. Having good manners doesn't let the bad guy win. It's that kind of simple. We can take good manners through a lot of weaves in the conversation, but it just popped into my head that, you know, somebody's screaming and raving, and you just smile and nod your head and carry on your business. They don't have any power. So just have good manners.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually true. And speaking of good manners, I mean, this is always a good reminder because we all need reminders, us included. But good manners is such, I mean, it's part of being gracious. It's part of being, and if we're gracious, we're showing that gratitude, right? So good manners means, you know, the please, the thank you, the, you know, and if somebody does something nice for you, you know, thank them at least twice. And there are other ways that we can display good manners, too. It's in our interactions. For example, on the job, you know, you answer the phone, you answer it in a pleasant voice with a smile on your face. You know, if you're going to put somebody on hold, may I put you on hold for just a moment? You know, you ask them that. If somebody says, how are you doing? You know, good, thanks. How are you? You know, that kind of a reply will show the good manners. just that, and you know, related to good manners is class, being classy. You know, that's all classy. And so if shaking hands is customary in your area of the world, then, you know, you shake hands, you give them a good firm handshake, unless your culture doesn't do firm handshakes, and there are some that don't, Native American cultures don't. And so whatever the custom is, you do that, and you do it eloquently. Just remember those good manners. When you're doing emails, you know, use the salutation. Use the person's name and spell it properly. People ask, you know, the sweetest word is, Zig Ziglar says, the sweetest word in any language is a person's name, your name. So use their name, spell it right, write your email, keep it, positive, upbeat, and then sign off and include your name. And if you're one of my students, please include your full name, first and last, so I know who I'm talking with and don't have to hunt you down and send Dr. Vicky after you. You wouldn't like that. Anyway, so, you know, those are some good points on graciousness and good manners.
And I think when you are grateful, you do take the extra time. When you really feel grateful, you really want somebody else to know you're grateful. And you do take the extra time to give that, you know, I love that other card that we haven't pulled yet, but that, and then some, you know, that extra mm-hmm. thank you, or that extra gesture of appreciation. So it's,
and let me
go ahead.
Let me mention one other aspect of good manners that comes to mind, and that is not taking yourself too seriously. And I'll tell you, folks, look, here's the real reality of it. We all get frustrated at times. We all get frustrated with other people at times. All of us do. We get frustrated with other drivers. We get frustrated with people we know.
I don't.
You know, except for Dr. Hunter. She's the only one. But the rest of us, we get frustrated, right? And so, I'm saying this as much for my own self as anyone else here. We got to stop taking ourselves too seriously. We realize that it's not all about us. It's not all about them. It's about all of us together. And even when we're frustrated with somebody and we can't let that control our behavior, you know, in other words, we don't behave in an unacceptable way because of anybody else. We have to behave as who we are. We do that for us first and foremost. Nobody is more worthy of our own best behavior than us, as the saying goes. And so bear that in mind. So when somebody comes to you and you think, well, you know what, that's stupid. That's a stupid question. Why are you even asking me that? Don't ask me that. That kind of stuff. Well, understand that we're all doing the best we can with our own level of awareness, education, resources, experience we have at this moment. Some days our best is better than other days and worse than other days. It just depends. So give people the benefit of the doubt until there's no longer a good reason to do so. But in these everyday interactions, don't take yourself too seriously. Understand that people are trying. All of us, there are times when we all just don't think. We respond, we reply, and we don't think. And that's just part of life. So give them that benefit of the doubt. Be gracious and never misbehave for any reason. Always stick to your good behavior because that's who you are and you owe it to yourself. We have some people who want cards, right?
I think, if I have this right, Tabitha is first in line, and I just drew a card for you, Tabitha. And I drew number 45 in the life skills suit, inspiration and motivation. I like that one because I like them all. But so this is for you, Tabitha. Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishments may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. So remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy. So this is just that little reminder to continue to feel inspired and know that hope is kind of the root of that. So just stay steadfast and take a little moment to look around and keep going. Stay motivated. So I think Francis is next, correct?
Mm-hmm.
If
mm-hmm.
I have this. Okay, Francis, this one's for you. Pay It Forward, number 29. And I'm just going to find it in my little book. You'd think I'd have them memorized by now, but...
Warren Wood. You have to work on that.
I know.
Warren Wood, but he's wrong sometimes.
I opened my mouth. That'll be the next thing. Dr. Kelly says, have you memorized those cards yet? Okay. Okay, this is for you, Francis. Living with gratitude, there we go again, and responsibility extends generosity to others.
What was the face tag?
It's number 29, service to self and others suit.
Okay, but what's the actual face value?
Pay It Forward. Sorry.
Oh.
Did I not say that?
Sorry. You did. I'm sorry. Okay. My bad. You got talking. I thought, well, did she say what it was? My bad.
Okay.
Please start
We're
again.
Good. No.
My
no
apologies.
Problem. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit, except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way you can pay it forward right now? You know, what also comes to mind as I'm reading that is sometimes we do things for other people and we don't see a return. We don't get that graciousness of somebody saying thank you, and we just have to let it go. No expectation. When you give, you've got to do it, even though some people don't have bad good manners.
Yeah.
So it may not necessarily mean that you should give forward more than you already do, Francis, but maybe you have been giving forward but feeling like you're a little exhausted. Well, you know, take note from Tabitha's cards and just feel continually inspired and motivated and carry on. But I think the key here is about that graciousness, you know, that the heartfelt kindness, and just to, you know, remind ourselves that we are giving from our hearts and never mind, and we just hope that we're contagious in a good way.
And, you know, I saw that movie, Pay It Forward. I watched it a couple of nights ago, and, you know, I hadn't watched it in a long time. It's such a good movie, and it just gets emotional. It shows you what can happen when people really really pay it forward. And it's interesting. Fran says the second time that card's been drawn for her, and that's interesting. You know, that's so look for the meaning somewhere in that for you, and it can be some variation. Whatever aha moment you can derive from that, regardless of how it's related to it, is what it's meant for you. It's just to get you thinking, obviously.
And always to try to see it from another angle, perhaps. Sometimes when, mm-hmm. you know, we don't get it the first time, it's just a reminder that maybe we need to turn this little circle around and see it from another point of view. So,
and if we do everything we do, when we do a kindness or do a nice for somebody, if we always do it with the mindset of paying it forward, then we'll never expect something in return, because that's when we feel discouraged, is when we expect gratitude. And Dale Carnegie wrote about that. You know, the easiest way to stop getting upset with people is to stop expecting gratitude. Just don't expect it. And so if you do it in a sense of paying it forward, knowing that those people, too, that you've done something nice for that didn't acknowledge it, they, too, will do things for people who don't acknowledge it. So the cycle kind of goes on. But we can just pay it forward and have the good, wholesome, good feeling that we did the right thing and we did it for the right reasons.
You know, I might just say that the odds of that same card coming up, there's 54 cards, the odds of that same card coming up for the same individual, got to think about the math on that. That's pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, time to go buy a lottery ticket.
Yeah. I think I forgot today.
Dr. Angie would like a card, too.
I just pulled one for Dr. Angie, great. And it's number 19, Invoke the Counselor Within. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself to not codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you. Now, that you're going to interpret that according to your present situation and whatever kind of you're at. And this is for anybody, by the way. When you draw a card like that, it's maybe something insignificant. We translate it, interpret it in a way that, oh, this is relevant to me today. And I think even in very small things, like, oh, gee, I questioned myself today, or, gee, maybe I should have asked somebody about that. But, you know, you got to dig deep and say, you know, the counselor within. It's like be that self-certainty, if you will. And so it's just a little reminder, I think, in a way. I hope that relates to something that you can connect with, Dr. Angie. Anybody else?
Not that I've seen. So if you have said something and you want a card and we're not seeing it, say so again and we'll pull one.
Yeah, because sometimes we're multitasking here, so we're not necessarily catching everything. But Michael is so good behind the scenes to fill in the blanks for us. I'm just choosing a card randomly, and I have just come up with number 21, Insight and Wisdom. It's in the spirituality suit. I think that this, oddly enough, again, it's just so interesting how these things tie together. This card reads, wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions. You know, I think that can tie right back to the very beginning of our conversation, to be honest, about checking in with ourselves and having, again, that maturity that I'd mentioned, or never mind about those folks. That kind of thing, that we all have to dig deep in and apply our knowledge. You know, be wise. I think that's the key.
Well, use our knowledge. You know, use what you learn. Don't just quickly forget it. You know, you learn a good life lesson. Well, how can I apply that in my life? How can that help me to make me a better person or a more evolved person? And don't forget your core values. A lot of people don't give any attention to their core values, but we all have them, whether they're healthy or unhealthy. And so if you see somebody doing something, you want to emulate that quality, well, bring it on into your core values and do that too if it's a healthy thing. Insight and wisdom, we get insight. The more we learn, the more insight we get. And that's why it's so important to educate yourself every day. You know, spend 15 minutes every day just learning something new. Do that for you. And that's so easy to do. You can do it in a myriad of ways. You can do online research. You can read a book, you know, not necessarily a novel, but something that is a nonfiction. And the online thing, that's a huge thing. Or you can go somewhere, go to a seminar or watch a documentary or something that adds to your knowledge and broadens your knowledge base, because the more you know about a variety of things, the more insight and hence the more wisdom you can display. So it looks like Rebecca.
I just saw
Rebecca wants a card.
Rebecca. And while you were talking, I did see that and I did pull a card.
Okay.
This one is number 20, Deliberate Intent. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is that you desire. It's not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience. So it's just a little reminder for you to, you know, focus really clearly and meditate on that a bit, and then give it a minute or two to, you know, connect with other energies out there so that like attracts like.
That's one of the intent. Yeah, that's one of the big big secrets, if you will, about human nature. We get what we focus on. And it's so important to focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. So if you focus on what you want with deliberate intent and you put that out to the universe, then that's what's going to happen. That's just the way the universe is rigged. It's the way it's geared. It's the way it's set up. You know, we have to put that deliberate intent out there. And so if you want something and you want it bad enough, you're going to get it. That's just the way it works. So have some faith in that and that whole process, and don't get too impatient. You know, it's going to take a little time. Just see it through, and it will happen. That's the way of life.
You know, I might like to throw in there that we're all going to encounter caca. We're all going
to
encounter.
We're going to have a chat about these words.
I'm just keeping it real. You know, we all encounter people who, you know, that aren't so nice. You know, have their own their own motivations. We encounter bad things. Here's the deal: life is going to throw us curveballs. It doesn't mean that that's all also a part of your deliberate intent. And I would like people to get this visual here for a second. You got thousands and thousands of people in traffic going through town, and everybody wants a green light. Here's the thing: is you got to like slow down at the yellow, stop at the red. Everybody needs to take their turn, like through all the streets and avenues and so on. And because no matter how you try to mess with it, you're not in control of the lights, so to speak. But you are in control of getting across town if that's where you're going. So that's the point of deliberate intent. So you're going to navigate your way through town. Know when to slow down, know when to stop, know when to wait, know when to go forward. And that's what we've been talking about, you know, that insightfulness and that wisdom, and apply your knowledge. And, you get a news report that there's construction ahead. Well, make a little detour. Save yourself sitting there in traffic. So that's the kind of thing. It doesn't mean that you can have everything you want just because you wish for it. It means that you put that energy out there and you move forward into that, connecting with it. Like I say, there will be things in life that distract us, that stand in our way, but it can't change who you are, what you are. Stay true to yourself and keep going forward. So I had to throw in another little speech, I guess, tonight.
Well, that's good. It's a good night for speeches. All right. So I think with that, we're going to start wrapping things up for another week.
Can I add in a little tiny notice about quantum
energy
theory?
Oh, yeah. Please do. One minute.
But we talked about it. We talked about it on the student newsletter. And for those of you who haven't listened yet, quantum energy healing levels 1 and 2 has now become levels 1, 2, and 3. So after some discussion and meetings with Dr. Kelly, I took it under advisement, and he's absolutely correct. We've now expanded it because it was just a little too condensed and too much in level 2. So it's been expanded. Level 2 will be up in the next day or so. It's just about complete, one final segment to finish editing and PDF, and it'll be up and ready. So for those of you who are interested in that, level 1 is operating. We have students enrolled. Level 2 is coming up right away, and level 3 will be up in the next 2-3 weeks as it is in development. So that's my little notice for today.
Okay, cool. Well, we're getting low on time here. We appreciate everybody joining us tonight for this live program. Thanks to those listening to the archive. Thanks to Michael Kelly for producing behind the scenes. Thanks for those of you who have questions. And if you have questions that you like discussed on the program, send me an email, post it on 1PC, and we'll get to them. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night.